with Jerry, learning a bit more about growing up in Derry, his experience of the Troubles, his interaction with the police up there. We talk about some of the more controversial elements, like the On the Run and the letters and stuff like that there. And, you know, it's not always the picture that you see in the press. It's a different angle on all of that type of stuff. So that's available for you to listen back now. It's on our website, highlandradio.com, or you can get it on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts for that matter. And it's also available for you to watch on the YouTube channel, the Greg Hughes Podcast. And we've got amazing guests, some amazing guests that we've spoken to. Every single one of them in and of themselves is a fantastic guest or guests. And we deal with a whole range of issues. You know, if you're used to listening to this show and, you know, some of the times the questions can be quite probing and, you know, challenging, but it's not like that. This is about giving people the space to tell their story. Coming up soon too, we recorded a podcast with Brendan Tiny Vaughan, who's a big, strong man, but who's carrying and has carried, you know, quite a lot of distress from a difficult childhood in school, from a lovely, wonderful, loving family, but had a very difficult time in school. And the scars of that are still there today. So it's a lovely chat, a positive chat, but also too very relatable for those of you who maybe were brought up during the corporal punishment years, where violence in the classroom was not uncommon. So that's a very interesting conversation with Brendan Tiny Vaughan. That's coming up in the coming weeks. We also have a recording due with Jason Quigley as well. Looking forward to that. So the point I'm making, there's politics, there's community, there's health, there's mental health, you know, there's sport. One of the most popular ones we had was with Gary Jennings, a remarkably inspirational story of the awful crash he had, building, bouncing back from that, ultimately to take part in this year's Donegal International Rally. And they're not time sensitive, but as I say, there's something there for everyone, no matter what you're going through in your life or what your interest is, be it sports, politics, human interest, community, they're all there for you. So I can't encourage you enough. We've proved really popular. The podcast proved really popular. We chart often in the top 10 across the country of all podcasts in our category. So it's no mean feat. And that means there's lots of people listening all over the place. And we'd love you to be part of that family. So as I say, search the Greg Hughes Podcast on Highland Radio. Or check it out on Spotify. Give us a subscription if you don't mind, or a like, whatever it is that reminds you of new episodes. Also, if you're on Apple, check it out there or wherever you get. Each of us have our own podcast favourites. Right, so a quick request, if you don't mind, because they're very important and we get to put them out at this time of the day. I want to say happy birthday to Brendan O'Donnell from Letterkenny. He's 70 today. Happy birthday, Brendan, from Dermot, Anne-Marie and Annie May and all of us here at Highland Radio. Could you please play a request for Anne Harkin in Drummony, Letterkenny, who's celebrating her birthday today in Malinhead, back to her roots, hoping she's having a lovely time with her sisters Bridget and Mary and husband Desi, sending you loads of love from daughter Tina and grandchildren Zara, Sky, Jed and Lily. Lovely modern names, them too. Lily's not, but it's the more modern now. The lovely names, I know. We've got beautifully named grandchildren. Have a fantastic day, Anne, and I'm sure you've been treated and spoiled rotten. Treated great, spoiled rotten, up there in beautiful Malin. Brenda Burns is member of the Lettermack Award Development Group and joins me now. Hi, Brenda, good to chat to you.
Yeah, Breeda. Hi, Greg.
Sorry, it's Brenda's written in front of me. What? My apologies, Breeda.
That's okay. That's okay.
Right, now we'll get your name right. That's quite important. You? I'm good. Now, there is quite a significant community movement ongoing in terms of safety in the Lettermack Award area, and that's going to be highlighted by a protest. So what are the problems that people locally feel so moved about, Breeda?
Well, I suppose, just not to put too fine a point on it, just speeding through the village. The road was upgraded and opened in 2017, the N56, through Lettermack Award, and the council conducted a speed survey, and 85% of cars were exceeding 80 kilometres in what is a 60 kilometre per hour zone, and one car was measured as doing 132 kilometres per hour through the village. And like we routinely see speed, I live on that road, but also like the development group routinely see speeds well over 100 kilometres per hour in what is a 60 kilometre per hour zone. So that basically why the protest is taking place.
But all of that, you know, no, new roads are great, but they can create problems in of themselves. And that study of traffic speed, surely all of that is enough for the local authority or the TII to say, right, we need to do something here.
Well, in 2021, the TII produced a report that recommended that Letterimer Ward N56 through the village. Like, the village is about a mile long. So from the start of the speed limit to the end of the speed limit is about a mile long. And they recommended traffic calming measures at a cost of 95,000. But unfortunately, the N56 through Letterimer Ward was deemed as low priority. So we can't even get gateway signs, you know, the large entry signs into the village and from both sides. I think the problem too is along that it's a mile long, that a lot of people are not aware of what the speed limit is. You know, they see the small 60s on entrance to the village, but like that soon, you know yourself when you're driving along, that soon it leaves people's heads, and maybe halfway through the village they're unsure as to what the speed limit is. So the traffic calming measures are essential now at this stage, because as our press release stated, we're not willing to wait for a fatality for action to be taken on this, but we are deemed as low priority because the lack of collision data. We've had minimum of three accidents on that road. You said, yeah, the new road opened, that's fantastic, but it does bring its challenges, and we've had three accidents and weekly near misses, you know, and I suppose in this situation, we're not willing to wait until, you know, a serious accident or fatality happens in the village for action to be taken. We would like action to be taken now, because speeding is a serious concern in Letterimer Ward.
And is there a sense that it's not if it's when, unless something is done?
I think it's a bit of kicking the can down the road. I mean, I think everybody, including the TII, identified that Letterimer Ward needs a safety scheme package. The cost is 95,000, as I said. I think a lot, as you know, a lot of this comes down to budget. Mm. And where you're deemed to be on the list, and we are deemed as low priority, but the development group and residents of Letterimer Ward, we don't deem ourselves. The statistics are there, like 132 kilometres per hour in a 60 kilometre per hour zone is over double the speed limit. And like on that road, we have two schools, a chapel, a hall, a shop, a filling station, a housing estate, a bar, restaurant, GAA club, health centre. Like, that is the village. Like, that mile is the village. And it, like any village, it has its businesses, health centre, etc. There's not one safe place across the road there. There's not one place on that mile of village that you can say, I can safely cross the road there.
Yeah.
So the upgrade to the road was fantastic. You know, the Letterimer Ward Development Group worked very hard to keep the village looking nice and all the rest of it. But we have a really, really huge problem with speeding. And like we would all like to think that, you know, personal accountability would come into it when we're driving. But unfortunately on the roads, as we know, that's not happening.
No, yeah.
So we need reminders to people driving through the village that please, please, please drive at 60 kilometres an hour. But we've been beating this drum for some time now. So now it's time for action, and we need that safety scheme package.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on too. It's almost like human psychology. The road, for people who aren't familiar with it, or even those that are, if you're not constantly reminded or given firm reminders mm-hmm. of what speed limit is, you make a judgment based on the road. You don't necessarily see what's going on around that road. So you can see how, you know, drivers find themselves putting the foot down. I'm not saying it's right, but we have to understand that if you don't remind people, if you don't try and educate them on the go, that's what's happening.
Oh, that's exactly it. I mean, it is. The road, as I say, was upgraded in 2017. It's a fantastic road. It's the gateway between Dunlow and Glenties on the main N56 there. And it is a road that's, would you say, maybe not speed inducing, but it is. And if you're not reminded, if drivers are not reminded every so often as to what the speed limit is, it's quite a long village. Like it's a mile long. So we need reminders along the way. Now, we have recently erected signs ourselves, just development group, Letterimer Ward Development Group purchased signs and erected them just in an effort to try and I suppose hamper the speeding and try and do as much as we can. And that's why the protest has been arranged for the 2nd of September. It's just about you know, like our school, Skull Region Electric Award, I think you've spoken previously to Kieran McDevitt and Brian Carr, and they did a brilliant, you know, sign. And when you see kids standing, the need for children to stand on the side of the road with a 60-kilometre sign to remind people going through a village that this is 60 kilometres, those children are crossing that road.
Yeah.
Elderly people are crossing the road to attend the medical centre. You know, there's all the community is you. That's where the shop is. That's where the shops are. That's where the bar restaurant is. That's where the GAA pitch is. And the cycle track, the GAA pitch is on one side and the cycle track is on the other. So kids cycling to training. And there really is no safe place to cross there.
I just want to circle back on just a couple of things that you mentioned, just as, and then we'll remind people of this demonstration. A survey conducted by Donegal County Council showed 85% of cars were travelling at more than 80 kilometres per hour, exceeding the speed limit by more than 20 kilometres per hour. And here's the thing that sticks in my throat. Transport Infrastructure Ireland drew up a safety plan. So in other words, they know what needs to be done or could be done. Less than 100 grand. And this is the real problem we have in this country about us being reactive. It actually is going to take someone to be killed or critically injured before that money is spent. So they have drafted it. They know what needs to be done. But again, let me reiterate, they're effectively saying until someone is killed or someone is maimed or there is a series of collisions, they're not going to spend that money. And yet locals on the ground are saying it's going to happen. That's crazy. Like that is, I really find it hard to get my head around that.
Yeah. Yeah, and us too. Like, we have campaigned for some time about speeding. Like, as I say, I live on the road, on the just off the main road, and, like, I'm a member of the Letterman Ward Development Group as well. But, yeah, we, like, I suppose we, at meetings, we discuss, like, if a fatality or, as you say, a maiming happens, and then, you know, we see it all the time around the country where people say, oh, the county council were aware or the TAA were aware of that situation. That had been long campaigned for. Like, if that's my mother, if it's my other members of my group, if it's somebody in the locality, their son, their daughter, their, you know, a child crossing at the school, a child crossing on their bike at the football pitch, you know, somebody going to the shop for an ice cream, it's too late then. It's too late. All the statistics and the figures, and then the €95,000 will seem a very small figure if we end up with a fatality because of this. And, like, we've long campaigned, you know, for maybe not publicly, this is our first public campaign in relation to the speeding through letter. But we've long longed for some sort of traffic calming measures through the village so that people can cross the road safely, not even like in a mile stretch of inside a village in a 60-kilometre zone, not one safe place to cross. You know, the statistics are there, they don't lie, and I'm not a great statistics person. I just like to talk about things as they are, but the statistics are there to show that we need this safety package scheme and we need these calming measures before a fatality is imminent.
Right, we'll remind people closer to the time of a protest that's taking place along the N56. Ironically, while that protest is on, the cars will be crawling because people will be wanting to know what's going on. You know what I mean, which is ironic in and of itself, but it's through the village on the 2nd of September at 3 p.m. and children from both of Letterkmack Awards primary schools as well as members of the community, I think there'll be a good turnout because you want to be listened to.
Yeah, and Letterkmack Ward has a really fantastic history of supporting its community. If you know, when the chips are down, they rally behind, and I think there's not one person, I suppose, in the village. I mean, it's not just on the main road. It's on the back roads as well of Letterkmack Ward, but I mean, that's for addressing as well. But I suppose when it comes to the TAI, we're dealing with the main N56 road. But yeah, we would ask that people come out. And obviously it's a safe protest. People attending will stand on either the cycle track or the footpath, a safe distance back from the road. It's not actually on the road.
No, of course.
Because obviously that creates safety issues also. So yeah, we would ask people to come out. And sure, Greg, if you're not at anything yourself, you might come along and join us.
I might well do. It's important. You know, as I say, I just think people like yourself needs to be listened to. And that is just one stretch of road through the village where people are putting their foot down. The lines are a bit confusing outside the school. It's a broken line at least one of the schools anyway, which I don't understand.
Yeah, it is. And the one at the brow of the hill just after that is also a broken lane where you can overtake, but there is zero visibility. I don't understand. I have questions.
I mean,
the powers
just,
that be.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Listen, well said, Breeda. As I say, we'll remind people closer to
Greg.
The time. If I can't get out, we might attend. It's important. And I think it's important to let the powers that be know that we know that they're not making the right decision. Okay, thanks, yeah. Breeda. Breeda Burns, member of the Letterback Award Development Group. A caller says several people were killed along Loch Fyne over 20 years ago, and despite promises, the Dippin Bridge, where it happened, is still not fixed. Another caller says, in relation to GEA, a lot of people thought it was very poor taste that any games were played in the county over the weekend, especially on Saturday. Well, I think we shouldn't necessarily presume what would be in the mind of those that are most directly affected by this. And it's very possible that they would think it would be a great honour for those games to go ahead. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I don't think we should presume to sort of feel on those most directly affected's behalves, if that makes sense. Why do the Gardaí or Special Speed Patrol units not take a leaf out of what the American Patrol units do by touching the corner bumper of a speeding joyrider car, tipping it over and preventing a major collision to other innocent drivers? I think they call that fishtailing. A Garda car cannot chase a vehicle the wrong way up a motorway. It can't. Can you imagine, and we've seen it before, where that blame would ultimately lie then? It wouldn't be talking about those that maybe caused the collision. It would be about the Gardaí. So, you know, this activity, those that are involved in it, they know what the Garda protocols are. And I don't think we could expect any Garda to chase a vehicle the wrong way up a motorway. I certainly wouldn't want them to do that. And then deploying stingers, which is in and of itself is complicated because you would probably need to halt all other traffic. And in fact, I was watching a program from America recently whereby a police officer, it was a body cam uncut or something like that there, where a police officer was deploying these strips and was nearly killed, badly maimed, lost both of his legs, in fact. So it's more complicated. A caller says, so the bottom line here is three women and a child are in hospital because Gardaí are not allowed to endanger criminals. The law should be enforced to protect ordinary citizens, not offenders. Again, I would go back to the reality of are we seriously saying they should have chased a car the wrong way up a motorway? I don't know if that's the solution. It's horrendous what has happened, but it's also an example of the huge lack of parental control, says a listener. Heartbreaking for the family in hospital, but the Gardaí need more power and a zero-tolerance practice applied to all the known lawbreakers. If the five people in the car were underage, their parents should be prosecuted. We need to see a bit more tough action. Yeah, and there's never a good time to have these conversations. And Forza will investigate because our understanding is that Gardaí had an interaction with that vehicle at some point, not in the immediate beforehand. But those Gardaí now are going to be under investigation by the Garda Ombudsman for God knows how long. It could run for months and months and months, and they'll have it hanging over their heads whether or not they had any responsibility or what have you. And that is another element of this that needs to be sorted out too, because those guards need to be on the street with clear minds. And if they, as will happen, I would imagine, found to have, had no responsibility in relation to that, well, they need to be cleared as soon as possible. Afraid Gardaí don't have pursuit training for fear of being sued by the kids' parents of the vandals. As one case, the judge had the sense to throw out a case of a teenager taking a Garda to court for knocking her off her e-scooter, not forgetting a Garda who kindly gave a bike away but to face the wrath of his bosses for 2 years. Yep, Kevin, good observations there. Parents should know where the kids are at that hour of the morning. Let's pray for the innocent family in all this. With the help of God, they make a recovery. And on the issue of dentists, I'm in Donegal, but my dentist doesn't take medical cards or go through the PRSI system. Is this fair or legal? Is it fair? Probably not. Is it legal? I'd imagine so. Right, quick break, then we'll be back with more. If you're a musician, by the way, and have ambitions to hit the big time and you want to do it through us, you'll want to be listening in. If you have anyone in your family, get them to tune in if they're musicians between now and 11. I'm joined on the programme now by Yvonne Lang, Chair of Shamisha. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Sorry for holding you there, Yvonne. Now, your group conducted a survey recently in the Ballybofey-Stranorlar area. To what end?
So when the group came together last September, we really wanted to get a sense of what the community wanted us to achieve and do over the course of our lifetime as a group. So we started by asking the community what they wanted. And we were overwhelmed, I think, when we got the 149 responses. Mm. To kind of give us direction as to what the community wanted us to achieve and do, being mindful of the fact that all of us on the committee are volunteers and have responsibilities in our own lives. And from that, then we put together our community action plan and have been working through that as best we can over the last year, with some success in some areas and a lot of learning in others. And we'll be moving forward with having another consultation, hopefully with the community again at our AGM that we're hoping to have in September. So it was really that idea that we as a group coming together, we needed to have a better understanding as to what the community needed to feel that they were going to be part of the community and part of this group.
And is that adapting what's already there, or is that creating, spaces that would be friendly and inclusive to neurodivergent people? Or perhaps the answer, it's a mix.
It's a number of different things. It's about really understanding where there are gaps and where there are gaps in knowledge and understanding. So even simple things like activities for those that would have additional needs or those from the neurodivergent community, what is it that they want? Because we can all have assumptions as to mm-hmm. what that might be. But really getting an understanding what area that is that in the arts, is that in the sports? So identifying activities, but more than that, understanding how people can engage in those activities, like what is needed in order for that to happen. So over the last year, we have run a number of different activities with that in mind as to what people have asked us for. We had Easter camps, and then over the course of the summer, we had a number of different activities focused on those from the community, but also looking at the parents and the carers, because it's an entire unit that you have to ensure that the support network for any individual, that they are supported as well, to be able to help their child, their young adult, to thrive. So we had in the last month, we've had an activity for adults, also for parents to understand their needs and to connect with their health and well-being also. So it's about looking at supports for people, activities, how can we advocate for those changes in accessibility, in infrastructure, and understand how spaces need to be redesigned so that they are inclusive. And also really trying to push that understanding of what inclusive is, because I think we're all learning that. Everybody's learning that, and there's huge efforts being made to try and understand what inclusion actually is.
Yeah.
And I think, we have to commend everybody who does take action on that, but that there is still a wealth of learning to be done and a wealth of change needed for us to really have inclusive spaces.
Yeah, for sure. And you can almost spot businesses or service providers that have neurodivergent people in their family. It is often about understanding, because if they have an understanding of it, they can tailor their service or their facility or their business. Were there trends coming from this process so far? In other words, are there a couple of areas that we could start working on right now that were almost common amongst all the respondees? Or respondents?
I think the main thing that came out from our survey really is that idea of safe spaces and truly understanding how do you make that space welcoming for somebody to engage with. And that involves a huge amount of work in regards to even just entering into a space. And when you have, for example, if you're considering a child that might have a flight risk element, how do you ensure that they can even get into that space? So, for example, parking spaces was an issue that was raised that, if you want to even get to the shops to do your job, or sorry, to do the messages that you're going to do, is there a space in which you can safely park and get from your parking, from your car to where you need to go with somebody who may be a flight risk? So even understanding simple things like that for us, and that's not a simple task. I want to make sure that I don't put that across. It's not a simple task to navigate from a parking spot to where you're going if you have a child who's a flight risk. So that was one element. And then just places to go where you feel that you're safe. And that, you know, it has all of the provision of understanding what sensory processing is, which is a really complex thing to really get an understanding of. But understanding, you know, not just from the five senses and you know, dimming lights and lower noise levels, but there's so many other elements in it that you need to consider that can help you to engage within that space. Okay. So those two elements really came across, and support, you know, parent and carer support was a huge thing. There's immense challenges placed on people on a daily basis just to ensure that they have provision for, you know, the basics, and that they have a space where they can talk openly and honestly and share their own lived experiences and help get, and support each other.
All right. And people can contact This Is Me Community 2025 at gmail.com or info@thisismecommunity.ie. Email interest, and I presume someone will get back to them, taking into consideration you're all volunteers, Yvonne, just trying to make your space a better space for everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Bye-bye, Yvonne. That's Yvonne Lang there, chair of SHA Misha. Have a listen to this.
Well, where was I at 10:15 on Sunday night? I was fast asleep. I was out like a light, and a fighting in the street. But I swear I wasn't crying, I swear I wasn't crying. I live with her, she lived with me. I promise you, sir, I'm so drunk.
All right, that is the winners of last year's Radio Hero Award. We'll explain the process. We selected Tessio, and that is their track Hang It, and then they went on to represent this radio station in a national competition. To help me explain it further, I'm joined by the two men of music, really, aren't they? They're Paul McDevitt and Jimmy Stafford. You really have created a brand, you two, haven't you?
I suppose you have, in a way.
When you think about it, you know, and quite rightly so, when someone needed to step in. Because we are launching today the new Local Hero competition. It's part of Irish Music Month, and on Highland Radio, we're on the hunt for Ireland's newest local hero. Jimmy, we know we have fantastic artists out there. This is a call to action. This is saying get involved.
Absolutely, Greg, and this has been a brilliant competition over the last number of years, and it gives a great opportunity for young, not even young, but any artist out there who's penned a new song, who hasn't released it yet, who thinks, well, this could make headland. And I think, Greg, for me, what stands out about music, and we talk about this every year, is the Northwest, that whole, it's just an empire of music, I call it, and from all different categories and choirs and all that sort of solo artists, bands. But this competition gives a, you never know, because if you look at, for example, you and I were just chatting with Paul about summer sessions. Look at Cian DeCroix on Friday night, right? Where that guy has come from over the last 5 years. Started as a trained flautist, or, you know, trained a classical musician. Now he's selling out arenas. So it's just the world of music out there is so brilliant. And this competition that we're running is just a fantastic opportunity for somebody out there to send us in their song, and you'll never know where it'll go after that.
And what we've seen too, Paul, is the variety of artists, you know, from hip-hop to classical to, you know, this competition, what we've seen over the last couple of years is that, you know, and you guys reflect this on Monday Night Sessions, don't get me wrong, but it's just the breadth of talent that's out there.
We've been blown away every year this is on by the talent and the production of the music is sent, and this is just unreal, you know, the quality. And we have so much talent here, as you say, rightly so, because of the way the music industry, the Irish music industry, has changed this last lot of years. This is wide open to anybody. There's a good financial package here as well, you know, like there's €5,000 cash, and then you get a recording deal with Ruby Works in Dublin. They do your song for you. It's produced by a fella called Cian Boylan. So you're getting everything. It's really, really a brilliant innovation for young ones.
Yeah, indeed. And just to recap on that, so we're going to make it really simple as to how you enter. You just send us an MP3 of your original song along with a short written piece about you and your contact details to localhero@highlandradio.com. And the closing date for entries is the 6th of September. Now, what we'll do, when I say we, I mean a panel of Highland Radio judges, will choose four finalists, and each get a once-off payment of €875. So that's €650 for the band, €225 for the crew, who, however they choose to split it. And they will come in here. We'll have four consecutive days. We'll have half an hour dedicated to a chat, a couple of tracks, the song that they've entered, and maybe another track. We'll get them all set up in the studio. It'll all be done professionally, and you'll get your music out there to the Northwest and the world the way radio and media works now. So then after we have performances from our four finalists, we throw the voting open to the public then, who have their say, Jimmy. So if you're not listening now, maybe mum, dad, auntie, or uncle, granny and granddad are listening, spread the word. Get them to listen or watch back to this later.
Yeah, and I think that's the key message as well, because George was George Houston was one of our... And look where George has gone, right? Yeah. And I remember the first year he did this, it was his granny contacted him saying she was listening. I said, George, you need to enter this. So George was somewhere else. So that's what we're saying to anybody listening out there. You have a daughter, a son, a granddaughter, your husband, your wife, whatever. Get that music into us. I think one important point, if it's been released already on Spotify and stuff like that, Greg, we can't take it in. So it has to be new.
Because that's
rehash. So it's out there. But get the word out there. This is a really, really... And I think the other point you make, and I think that's the point, coming on here live with a half an hour dedicated to your solo artist or your band is a brilliant opportunity, playing inside here and quality production as well.
Paul, one of the biggest problems for bands, you could name five off the top of your head, or a single artist, and you could, Jimmy, as well, a separate five, is that breakthrough. It's breaking through. And we all know artists that all it takes is that breakthrough, because everything's there. The talent's there, the music's there, they just need the audience. This is one of those springboards, potentially, Paul, whereby you go from, you know, being excellent, a big fish in a small pond, to breaking out onto the national scene. We've seen previous winners now doing support in Croke Park or their own gigs. Like, it genuinely is a pathway to stardom.
Without a doubt, Greg, without a doubt, it's a fantastic platform for any artist of any kind. But equally, you just mentioned the point there, they come on and they talk. We've noticed this ourselves. Sometimes acts will come on, they're brilliant musically, but see, when it comes to delivering themselves, they just fall down. So think about that as you're coming forward with
now,
your
song.
Now,
when you hit the big time, you can be a little bit like that, right?
Yeah, but big time's different.
But until you get to that point, you know, you have to press the flesh.
We discovered that on Saturday. When you get to a certain level, you don't have to engage it.
They were grand. They were lovely.
You got them in the end, but you get to that level where you're trying to get through another barrier of communication. You know what it's like, Greg. But they were lovely, and Ricky and Lauren, when they came on, they were really, really wonderful people. And just to give you another example, Cry Before Dawn were on was in Saturday, right? They're around 40 years, as Dolan said, he saw them in Waterford. But just to hear their story of when they began in the 80s, and, you know, just genuinely good musicians, and just love what they do.
Received the award
last year,
after 40 years. They've received an award for their last album.
Best album, yes. Yeah,
presented to them the other day.
And they
played
a new track that's out today, which was actually...
Supposed to be a big anthem coming as well from them. So we'll have it.
It sounded to me like a song that had been out before. Now, that doesn't mean it was a copy of something else, but you know when something instantly has a bit of gravitas to it. So they're still pumping out good music.
So and I suppose the message there for them, I mean, they've been in hiatus for a couple of years, but back the last 2 years, is if you're an artist out there and you haven't been, and you have some, you know what's happening, Greg, people are in their bedroom recording now, you have something you think, oh, I think this is good, send it in to us.
Now, it's my mission, and I was saying this to Sean at the end of last week, I really want us to go on and win this thing.
I really want us to, and
I think as if I still have a role in judging, that's going to be a big focus for me anyway. Do you know what I mean? And that doesn't mean it has to be a particular genre or a type of music, but I just we've had some fantastic entries, not least Tessio. But I really think we should be winning this with what we have out there. So we need to connect the talent to the competition and win the blooming thing.
And I think that's a big one for us, Greg. We said that, like, we know we'll probably get 100 entries, right, roughly. It's beltering that down to four is the big challenge for us. But it's now when you look at what won the previous years and you can see what's going into the mix, the production side of it and all that sort of. So it's really probably think a bit differently If that, you know, and I know what you're thinking as well in terms of how do we get to that level where we get somebody into the final and they're in the top three and then eventually the top one. And I think that's what people listen to. Just be a bit different maybe as well.
There's another angle too this year with the Irish language song. Yeah. If you can enter, the song has to be at least half in Irish, and the prize for that is $2,500.
Yeah,
plus,
so
you get all the mentoring and you know, the opportunity to have their single mixed and mastered and then released through Galen. So that
another opportunity, yeah, exactly. And with our Gaeltacht there, is why not tap into that? So definitely. The call is out to anyone in any genre. You know, it doesn't really matter how successful you have been, whether you have never had success or maybe you've had some success. This, you know what I mean? As I say, this is open to absolutely everyone. It's an original piece of music that hasn't been released on a streaming platform before. Send us the MP3 to localhero at highlandradio.com, and every single track's listened to by at least five sets of ears.
It is, we start getting them in and then we start listening to them, and we'll come up here and put them on the speakers as well.
Don't try an AA, because we'll catch on to you.
It's
still a bit obvious, isn't it? And also too, you have to come in here and sing it live.
You do, yeah.
But no robot.
I think anybody out there, just be brave. You know, I think that's the thing, Greg. You know, people are saying, might be shy about sending some, send it in, let us listen to it. And, you know, and the other thing, the beauty for us, Greg, and Highland Radio, the amount of stuff we get where we get a new artist, we say, wouldn't it be great to come on your show or our show or any show at Highland? Mm-hmm. We've actually picked loads of from previous years. So, you know what, would you come on and do a session for
us? It does become almost like a little, not a little, it becomes a playset almost. Yeah. So it's a case you can dip in and out of it, because there's an amazing, and as across the music as used to are, there are still artists out there that can enter this that you're going, wow.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I hadn't heard them before. They're fantastic.
In their bedroom, recording and singing it.
So,
I
mean, it can be a band, it can be a choir, it can be solo, it can be a duo. It really doesn't matter. The only thing that we need now is for you to get that MP3 into us. And this could be your pathway to the big time. Yeah. Localhero at highlandradio.com. You have until the Sunday, the 6th of September. August, September. Wow, that's not long away.
A couple of weeks.
Three weeks.
3 weeks only, So it is tight.
Yeah.
But look, people are turning around songs in 24 hours now.
That's true.
Yeah.
So they have the melody and the words and put it together.
I wish I had the talent.
Yeah, so do I.
You know,
absolutely.
Can you imagine sitting down now and going, I'm going to actually enter a song, I'm going to write a song.
Yeah.
And there's people out there have that, so get on it.
Yeah.
Or else you've got that sleeper that you haven't recorded yet.
And there's loads of them.
I mean, you look at previous, you know, you look at Owen Furry over in West Donegal, you know, previous people that we've had on the show. And you just look at where they're performing now at this stage. You know, and as you said, Greg, they've gone to bigger and better things as well. And that is the opportunity, I think, that people have out there. This is and I think that the from our perspective, you call out the figure there, they get 800 and something. Our four finalists each will get 800 and something euros.
875,
which isn't bad.
And if they're their own crew, split
it
amongst themselves.
By one or two or four. But it's
in
brilliant.
Other words, you're not going to be out of pocket. We're not asking you for a favour here. We're asking you to enter this competition. You'll be paid for your live performance, and then we'll back you to the hilt. If you're lucky enough to make it through and want to represent the region. It's representing us, it's representing the region, representing yourselves. Now, this is happening across a whole host of radio stations right across the country. Mm-hmm. So Mayo will be tapping into, Midwest will be tapping into Mayo and surrounds, Ocean into Sligo and surrounds, Ware into Donegal and surrounds as well. So ideally, it's really artists from this region.
Yeah.
That's not prescribed, but it would make sense, right?
Yeah. Previous years, Greg, you would see people would enter into four different radio stations. And say you're Donegal and then midway another radio station picks them, and just if you're focused on your Northwest, bang it into us and let us give us the opportunity to put you forward.
All right, brilliant stuff. And as I say, we're going to get behind you 100%. Four acts over four consecutive days, then the lines open. We'll be chatting loads more to Paul and Jimmy. Paul and Jimmy, I'm sure we'll be talking about this tonight on Monday night sessions. Mm-hmm. We'll be running ads and all, but get your entries into us. The MP3, a little bit about yourself. It's not a writing competition, right? Just jot something down and send it all into localhero at highlandradio.com. If you've got a musician or a band in your life and they haven't heard this, please get them to listen back to the podcast or check out our website where they'll get more information. And it's always over 100, and we'd love to see that kind of response again.
Yeah.
And if you've entered previously, by the way, it's literally based on the song at that time. Please don't be discouraged from sending in another track because it's not a one-and-done situation. When you whittle it down to four, there's 16 or there could be 24. And you could have been in that, so please don't be discouraged if you didn't get through to the final before. All right, lads, anything to add?
No, but a good weekend. Just summer sessions were brilliant.
Yeah, they stole your name. Did they have to clear that with you?
Honestly, sessions. Well, I didn't get that actually. Yeah. Sessions.
That's all sorted. I sorted that out. Don't you worry about that. Next question.
Three little letters for you, VIP. Right, okay. Jimmy and
thanks,
Paul,
Greg.
On air tonight from 8 to 10. What's on tonight?
Frankie McGreevy's coming up.
Oh, brilliant.
An Italian artist, actually, contacted us 12 months ago and is in Ireland and has been communicating. So
Paolo Rosato.
Rosato, yeah. So
be funny if he can't sing a note. Tune in just in case. And that's where we leave it on the show today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with Jerry learning a bit more about growing up in Derry, his experience of the Troubles, his interaction with the police up there. We talk about some of the more controversial elements, like the on the run and the letters and stuff like that there. And, you know, it's not always the picture that you see in the press. It's a different angle on all of that type of stuff. So that's available for you to listen back now. It's on our website, highlandradio.com, or you can get it on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts for that matter. And it's also available for you to watch on the YouTube channel, the Greg Hughes Podcast. And we've got amazing guests, some amazing guests that we've spoken to. Every single one of them in and of themselves is a fantastic guest or guests. And we deal with a whole range of issues. You know, if you're used to listening to this show and, you know, some of the times the questions can be quite probing and, you know, challenging, but it's not like that. This is about giving people the space to tell their story. Coming up soon too, we recorded a podcast with Brendan Tiny Vaughan, who's a big, strong man, but who's carrying and has carried, you know, quite a lot of distress from a difficult childhood in school, from a lovely, wonderful, loving family, but had a very difficult time in school. And the scars of that are still there today. So it's a lovely chat, a positive chat, but also too very relatable for those of you who maybe were brought up during the corporal punishment years where violence in the classroom was not uncommon. So that's a very interesting conversation with Brendan Tiny Vaughan. That's coming up in the coming weeks. We also have a recording due with Jason Quigley as well. Looking forward to that. So the point I'm making, there's politics, there's community, there's health, there's mental health, you know, there's sport. One of the most popular ones we had was with Gary Jennings, a remarkably inspirational story of the awful crash he had, building, bouncing back from that, ultimately to take part in this year's Donegal International Rally. And they're not time sensitive, but as I say, there's something there for everyone, no matter what you're going through in your life or what your interest is, be it sports, politics, human interest, community, they're all there for you. So I can't encourage you enough. We proved really popular. The podcast proved really popular. We chart often in the top 10 across the country of all podcasts in our category. So it's no mean feat. And that means there's lots of people listening all over the place. And we'd love you to be part of that family. So as I say, search the Greg Hughes Podcast on Highland Radio. Or check it out on Spotify. Give us a subscription if you don't mind, or a like, whatever it is that reminds you of new episodes. Also, if you're on Apple, check it out there or wherever you get. Each of us have our own podcast favourites. Right, so a quick request, if you don't mind, because they're very important and we get to put them out at this time of the day. I want to say happy birthday to Brendan O'Donnell from Letterkenny. He's 70 today. Happy birthday, Brendan, from Dermot, Anne-Marie and Annie May and all of us here at Highland Radio. Could you please play a request for Anne Harkin in Dromini, Letterkenny, who's celebrating her birthday today in Malinhead, back to her roots. Hoping she's having a lovely time with her sisters Bridget and Mary and husband Desi. Sending you loads of love from daughter Tina and grandchildren Zara, Sky, Jed and Lily. Lovely modern names them too. Lily's not, but it's the more modern now. The lovely names, I know we've got beautifully named grandchildren. Have a fantastic day, Anne, and I'm sure you've been treated and spoilt rotten treated great, spoiled rotten, up there in beautiful Mallon. Brenda Burns is member of the Letterman Award Development Group and joins me now. Hi, Brenda, good to chat to you.
Yeah, Breda. Hi, Greg.
Sorry, it's Brenda's written in front of me. What? My apologies, Breda.
That's okay. That's okay.
Right, now we'll get your name right. That's quite important. You? I'm good. Now, there is quite a significant community movement ongoing in terms of safety in the Letterman Award area, and that's going to be highlighted by a protest. So what are the problems that people locally feel so moved about, Breda?
Well, I suppose, just not to put too fine a point on it, just speeding through the village. The road was upgraded and opened in 2017, the N56, through Letchmack Ward, and the council conducted a speed survey, and 85% of cars were exceeding 80 kilometres in what is a 60 kilometre per hour zone, and one car was measured as doing 132 kilometres per hour through the village. And like we routinely see speed, I live on that road, but also like the development group routinely see speeds well over 100 kilometres per hour in what is a 60 kilometre per hour zone. So that's basically why the protest is taking place.
But all of that, new roads are great, but they can create problems in of themselves. And that study of traffic speed, surely all of that is enough for the local authority or the TII to say, right, we need to do something here.
Well, in 2021, the TII produced a report that recommended that Letterman Ward N56 through the village. Like, the village is about a mile long. So from the start of the speed limit to the end of the speed limit is about a mile long. And they recommended traffic calming measures at a cost of $95,000. But unfortunately, the N56 through Letterman Ward was deemed as low priority. So we can't even get gateway signs, the large entry signs into the village and from both sides. I think the problem too is along that it's a mile long, that a lot of people are not aware of what the speed limit is. They see the small 60s on entrance to the village, but like that soon, yourself when you're driving along, that soon it leaves people's heads, and maybe halfway through the village they're unsure as to what the speed limit is. So the traffic calming measures are essential now at this stage, because as our press release stated, we're not willing to wait for a fatality for action to be taken on this, but we are deemed as low priority because the lack of collision data. We've had minimum of three accidents on that road. You said, the new road opened, that's fantastic, but it does bring its challenges, and we've had three accidents and weekly near misses, and I suppose in this situation, we're not willing to wait until, a serious accident or fatality happens in the village for action to be taken. We would like action to be taken now, because speeding is a serious concern in Letterman Ward.
And is there a sense that it's not if it's when, unless something is done?
I think it's a bit of kicking the can down the road. I mean, I think everybody, including the TII, identified that Letterman Ward needs a safety scheme package. The cost is $95,000, as I said. I think a lot of this comes down to budget. Mm. And where you're deemed to be on the list, and we are deemed as low priority, but the development group and residents of Letterman Ward, we don't deem ourselves. The statistics are there, like 132 kilometres per hour in a 60 kilometre per hour zone is over double the speed limit. And like on that road, we have two schools, a chapel, a hall, a shop, a filling station, a housing estate, a bar, restaurant, GAA club, health centre. Like, that is the village. Like, that mile is the village. And like any village, it has its businesses, health centre, etc. There's not one safe place across the road there. There's not one place on that mile of village that you can say, I can safely cross the road there.
Yeah.
So the upgrade to the road was fantastic. The Letterman Ward Development Group worked very hard to keep the village looking nice and all the rest of it. But we have a really, really huge problem with speeding. And like we would all like to think that, personal accountability would come into it when we're driving. But unfortunately on the roads, as we know, that's not happening.
No, yeah.
So we need reminders to people driving through the village that please, please, please drive at 60 kilometres an hour. But we've been beating this drum for some time now. So now it's time for action, and we need that safety scheme package.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on too. And it's almost like human psychology. The road for people who aren't familiar with it, or even those that are, if you're not constantly reminded or given firm reminders mm-hmm. of what speed limit is, you make a judgment based on the road. You don't necessarily see what's going on around that road. So you can see how, you know, drivers find themselves putting the foot down. I'm not saying it's right, but we have to understand that if you don't remind people, if you don't try and educate them on the go, that's what's happening.
Oh, that's exactly it. I mean, it is, the road, as I say, was upgraded in 2017. It's a fantastic road. It's the gateway between Dunloe and Glenties on the main N56 there. And it is a road that's, would you say, maybe not speed inducing, but it is. And if you're not reminded, if drivers are not reminded every so often as to what the speed limit is, it's quite a long village. Like as I say, it's a mile long. So we need reminders along the way. Now, we have recently erected signs ourselves, just Glenmacour Development Group purchased signs and erected them just in an effort to try and I suppose hamper the speeding and try and do as much as we can. And that's why the protest has been arranged for the 2nd of September. It's just about, you know, like our school, Skull Region, Letcher McWard, I think you've spoken previously mm-hmm. to Kieran McDevitt and Brian Carr, and they did a brilliant, you know, sign. And when you see kids standing, the need for children to stand on the side of the road with a 60-kilometre sign to remind people going through a village that this is 60 kilometres, those children are crossing that road.
Yeah,
elderly people are crossing the road to attend the medical centre. You know, there's all the community is you. That's where the shop is. That's where the shops are. That's where the bar restaurant is. That's where the GAA pitch is, and the cycle track. The GAA pitch is on one side, and the cycle track is on the other. So kids cycling to training, and there really is no safe place. Yeah. Cross there.
I just want to, you know, circle back on just a couple of things that you mentioned, and then we'll remind people of this demonstration. A survey conducted by Donegal County Council showed 85% of cars were travelling at more than 80 kilometres per hour, exceeding mm-hmm. the speed limit by more than 20 kilometres per hour. And here's the thing that sticks in my throat. Transport Infrastructure Ireland drew up a safety plan. So in other words, they know what needs to be done or could be done, less than 100 grand. And this is the real problem we have in this country about us being reactive. It actually is going to take someone to be killed or critically injured before that money is spent. So they have drafted it. They know what needs to be done. But again, let me reiterate, they're effectively saying until someone is killed or someone is maimed or there is a series of collisions, they're not going to spend that money. And yet locals on the ground are saying it's going to happen. That's crazy. Like I really find it hard to get my head around that.
Yeah. Yeah, and us too. Like, we have campaigned for some time about speeding. Like, as I say, I live on the road, just off the main road, and, like, I'm a member of the Letmacour Development Group as well. But, yeah, at meetings, we discuss, like, if a fatality or, as you say, a maiming happens, and then, you know, we see it all the time around the country where people say, oh, the County Council were aware or the TAA were aware of that situation. That had been long campaigned for. Like, if that's my mother, if it's my other members of my group, if it's somebody in the locality, their son, their daughter, their, you know, a child crossing at the school, a child crossing on their bike at the football pitch, you know, somebody going to the shop for an ice cream, it's too late then. It's too late. All the statistics and the figures, and then the €95,000 will seem a very small figure if we end up with a fatality because of this. And, like, we've long campaigned, you know, for maybe not publicly, this is our first public campaign in relation to the speeding through Letcher. But we've long longed for some sort of traffic calming measures through the village so that people can cross the road safely, not even like in a mile stretch of inside a village in a 60 kilometre zone, not one safe place to cross. You know, the statistics are there, they don't lie. And I'm not a great statistics person. I just like to talk about things as they are. But the statistics are there mm-hmm. to show that we need this safety package scheme and we need these calming measures before a fatality is imminent.
Right. We'll remind people closer to the time of a protest that's taking place along the N56. Ironically, while that protest is on, the cars will be crawling because people will be wanting to know what's going on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is ironic in and of itself. But it's through the village on the 2nd of September at 3 p.m. And children from both of Lanarkshire Wards primary schools, as well as members of the community, I think there'll be a good turnout because you want to be listened to.
Yeah, and Lanarkshire Ward has a really fantastic history of supporting its community. If you know, when the chips are down, they rally behind. And I think there's not one person, I suppose, in the village. I mean, it's not just on the main road. It's on the back roads as well of Lanarkshire Ward. But I mean, that's for addressing as well. But I suppose when it comes to the TII, we're dealing with the main N56 road. But yeah, we would ask that people come out. And obviously, it's a safe protest. People attending will stand on either the cycle track or the footpath, a safe distance back from the road. It's not actually on the road.
No, of course.
Because obviously that creates safety issues also. So yeah, we would ask people to come out. And sure, Greg, if you're not at anything yourself, you might come along and join us.
I might well do. It's important. You know, yeah. As I say, I just think people like yourself needs to be listened to. And that is just one stretch of road through the village where people are putting their foot down. The lines are a bit confusing outside the school. It's a broken line, at least one of the schools anyway, which I don't understand.
Yeah, it is. And the one at the brow of the hill just after that is also a broken line where you can overtake, but there is zero visibility. I don't understand.
Exactly. All right. Listen, well said, Breeda. As I said, we'll remind people closer to the time. If I can't get out, we might attend. It's important. And I think it's important to let the powers that be know that we know that they're not making the right decision. Okay. Thanks, yeah. Breeda. Breeda Burns, member of the Letterback Award Development Group. A caller says several people were killed along Loch Fyne over 20 years ago, and despite promises, the Dippin Bridge, where it happened, is still not fixed. Another caller says, in relation to GEA, a lot of people thought it was very poor taste that any games were played in the county over the weekend, especially on Saturday. Well, I think we shouldn't necessarily presume what would be in the mind of those that are most directly affected by this. And it's very possible that they would think it would be a great honour for those games to go ahead. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I don't think we should presume to sort of feel on those most directly affected's behalves, if that makes sense. Why do the Gardaí or Special Speed Patrol units not take a leaf out of what the American Patrol units do by touching the corner bumper of a speeding joyrider car, tipping it over and preventing a major collision to other innocent drivers? I think they call that fishtailing. A Garda car cannot chase a vehicle the wrong way up a motorway. It can't. Can you imagine, and we've seen it before, where that blame would ultimately lie then? It wouldn't be talking about those that maybe caused the collision. It would be about the Gardaí. So, you know, this activity, those that are involved in it, they know what the Garda protocols are. And I don't think we could expect any Garda to chase a vehicle the wrong way up a motorway. I certainly wouldn't want them to do that. And then deploying stingers, which is, in and of itself, is complicated because you would probably need to halt all other traffic. And in fact, I was watching a program from America recently whereby a police officer, it was a body cam uncut or something like that there, where a police officer was deploying these strips and was nearly killed, badly maimed, lost both of his legs, in fact. So it's more complicated. A caller says, so the bottom line here is three women and a child are in hospital because Gardaí are not allowed to endanger criminals. The law should be enforced to protect ordinary citizens, not offenders. Again, I would go back to the reality of are we seriously saying they should have chased a car the wrong way up a motorway? I don't know if that's the solution. It's horrendous what has happened, but it's also an example of the huge lack of parental control, says a listener. Heartbreaking for the family in hospital, but the Gardaí need more power and a zero-tolerance practice applied to all the known lawbreakers. If the five people in the car were underage, their parents should be prosecuted. We need to see a bit more tough action. Yeah, and there's never a good time to have these conversations. And Forza will investigate because our understanding is that Gardaí were had an interaction with that vehicle at some point, not in the immediate beforehand. But those Gardaí now are going to be under investigation by the Garda Ombudsman for God knows how long. It could run for months and months and months, and they'll have it hanging over their heads whether or not they had any responsibility or what have you. And that is another element of this that needs to be sorted out too, because those guards need to be on the street with clear minds. And if they, as will happen, I would imagine, found to have, you know, had no responsibility in relation to that, well, they need to be cleared as soon as possible. Afraid Gardaí don't have pursuit training for fear of being sued by the kids' parents of the vandals. As one case, the judge had the sense to throw out a case of a teenager taking a Garda to court for knocking her off her e-scooter, not forgetting a Garda who kindly gave a bike away, but to face the wrath of his bosses for 2 years. Yep, Kevin, good observations there. Parents should know where the kids are at that hour of the morning. Let's pray for the innocent family in all this. With the help of God, they make a recovery. And on the issue of dentists, I'm in Donegal, but my dentist doesn't take medical cards or go through the PRSI system. Is this fair or legal? Is it fair? Probably not. Is it legal? I'd imagine so. Right, quick break, then we'll be back with more. If you're a musician, by the way, and have ambitions to hit the big time and you want to do it through us, you'll want to be listening in. If you have anyone in your family, get them to tune in if they're musicians between now and 11. I'm joined on the programme now by Yvonne Lang, Chair of Shamisha. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Sorry for holding you there, Yvonne. Now, your group conducted a survey recently in the Ballybofey-Stranorlar area. To what end?
So when the group came together last September, we really wanted to get a sense of what the community wanted us to achieve and do over the course of our lifetime of the group. So we started by asking the community what they wanted. And we were overwhelmed, I think, when we got the 149 responses to kind of give us direction as to what the community wanted us to achieve and do, being mindful of the fact that all of us on the committee are volunteers and have, you know, responsibilities in our own lives. And from that, then we put together our community action plan and have been working through that as best we can over the last year, with some success in some areas and a lot of learning in others. And we'll be moving forward with having another consultation, hopefully with the community again at our AGM that we're hoping to have in September. So it was really that idea that we as a group coming together, we needed to have a better understanding as to what the community needed to feel that they were going to be part of the community and part of this group.
And is that adapting what's already there, or is that creating, you know, spaces that would be friendly and inclusive to neurodivergent people? Or perhaps the answer, it's a mix.
It's a number of different things. It's about really understanding where there are gaps and where there are gaps in knowledge and understanding. So even simple things like activities for those that would have additional needs or those from the neurodivergent community, what is it that they want? Because we can all have assumptions as to what that might be. But really getting an understanding what area that is that in the arts, is that in the sports? So identifying activities, but more than that, understanding how people can engage in those activities, like what is needed in order for that to happen. So over the last year, we have run a number of different activities with that in mind as to what people have asked us for. We had Easter camps, and then over the course of the summer, we had a number of different activities focused on those from the community, but also looking at the parents and the carers, because it's an entire unit that you have to ensure that the support network for any individual, that they are supported as well, to be able to help their child, or their young adult, to thrive. So we had in the last month, we've had an activity for adults, also for parents to understand their needs and to connect with their health and well-being also. So it's about looking at supports for people, activities, how can we advocate for those changes in accessibility, in infrastructure, and understand how spaces need to be redesigned so that they are inclusive. And also really trying to push that understanding of what inclusive is, because I think we're all learning that. Everybody's learning that, and there's huge efforts being made to try and understand what inclusion actually is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we have to commend everybody who does take action on that, but that there is still a wealth of learning to be done and a wealth of change needed for us to really have inclusive spaces.
Yeah, for sure. And you can almost spot businesses or service providers that have neurodivergent people in their family. It is often about understanding, because if they have an understanding of it, they can tailor their service or their facility or their business. Were there trends coming from this process so far? In other words, you know, are there a couple of areas that we could start working on right now that were almost common amongst all the respondees or respondents?
I think the main thing that came out from our survey really is that idea of safe spaces and truly understanding how do you make that space welcoming for somebody to engage with. And that involves a huge amount of work in regards to even just entering into a space. And when you have, for example, if you're considering a child that might have a flight risk element, how do you ensure that they can even get into that space? So, for example, parking spaces was an issue that was raised that, you know, if you want to even get to the shops to do your job, or sorry, to do the messages that you're going to do, is there a space in which you can safely park and get from your parking, from your car to where you need to go with somebody who may be a flight risk? So even understanding simple things like that for us, and that's not a simple task. I want to, you know, make sure that I don't put that across. It's not a simple task to navigate from a parking spot to where you're going if you have a child with a flight risk. So that was one element. And then just places to go where you feel that you know you're safe. And that, you know, it has all of the provision of understanding what sensory processing is, which is a really complex thing to really get an understanding of. But understanding, you know, not just from the five senses and you know, dimming lights and lower noise levels, but there's so many other elements in it that you need to consider that can help you to engage within that space. Okay. So those two elements really came across, and support, you know, parent and carer support was a huge thing. There's immense challenges placed on people on a daily basis just to ensure that they have provision for, you know, the basics, and that they have a space where they can talk openly and honestly and share their own lived experiences and help get, and support each other.
All right. And people can contact This Is Me Community 2025 at gmail.com or info@thisismecommunity.ie. Email interest, and I presume someone will get back to them, taking into consideration you're all volunteers, Yvonne, just trying to make your space a better space for everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Bye-bye, Yvonne. That's Yvonne Lang there, chair of SHA Misha. Have a listen to this.
Well, where was I at 10:15 on Sunday night? I was fast asleep. I was out like a light, and a fighting in the street. But I swear I wasn't crying, I swear I wasn't crying. I live with her, she lived with me, I promise you, sir. I'm so drunk.
All right, that is the winners of last year's Radio Hero Award. We'll explain the process. We selected Tessio, and that is their track Hang It, and then they went on to represent this radio station in a national competition. To help me explain it further, I'm joined by the two men of music, really, aren't they? They're Paul McDevitt and Jimmy Stafford. You really have created a brand, you two, haven't you?
I suppose you have, in a way.
When you think about it, you know, and quite rightly so, when someone needed to step in. Because we are launching today the new Local Hero competition. It's part of Irish Music Month, and on Highland Radio, we're on the hunt for Ireland's newest local hero. Jimmy, we know we have fantastic artists out there. This is a call to action. This is saying get involved.
Absolutely, Greg, and this has been a brilliant competition over the last number of years, and it gives a great opportunity for young, not even young, but any artist out there who has penned a new song, who hasn't released it yet, who thinks, well, this could make headland. And I think, Greg, for me, what stands out about music, and we talk about this every year, is the Northwest, that whole, it's just an empire of music, I call it, and from all different categories and choirs and all that sort of solo artists, bands. But this competition gives a, you never know, because if you look at, for example, you and I were just chatting with Paul about summer sessions. Look at Cian DeCroix on Friday night, right? Where that guy has come from over the last 5 years. Started as a trained flautist, or, you know, trained a classical musician. Now he's selling out arenas. So it's just the world of music out there is so brilliant. And this competition that we're running is just a fantastic opportunity for somebody out there to send us in their song, and you'll never know where it'll go after that.
And what we've seen too, Paul, is the variety of artists, you know, from hip-hop to classical to, you know, this competition, what we've seen over the last couple of years is that you know, and you guys reflect this on Monday night sessions, don't get me wrong, but it's just the breadth of talent that's out there.
Will you be blown away every year this is on by the talent and the production of the music is sent on? This is just unreal, you know, the quality. And we have so much talent here, as you say, rightly so, because of the way the music industry, the Irish music industry, has changed this last lot of years. This is wide open to anybody. There's a good financial package here as well, you know, like there's €5,000 cash, and then you get a recording deal with Ruby Works. In Dublin, they do your song for you. It's produced by a fella called Kane Boylan. So you're getting everything. It's really, really a brilliant innovation for young ones.
Yeah, indeed. And just to recap on that, so we're going to make it really simple as to how you enter. You just send us an MP3 of your original song along with a short written piece about you and your contact details to localhero@highlandradio.com. And the closing date for entries is the 6th of September. Now, what we'll do, when I say we, I mean a panel of Highland Radio judges, we'll choose 4 finalists and each get a once-off payment of €875. So that's €650 for the band, €225 for the crew, who, however they choose to split it. And they will come in here. We'll have 4 consecutive days. We'll have half an hour dedicated to a chat, a couple of tracks, the song that they've entered, and maybe another track. We'll get them all set up in the studio. It'll all be done professionally, and you'll get your music out there to the Northwest and the world the way radio and media works now. So then after we have performances from our 4 finalists, we throw the voting open to the public then, who have their say, Jimmy. So if you're not listening now, maybe mum, dad, auntie, or uncle, granny and granddad are listening, spread the word. Get them to listen or watch back to this later.
Yeah, and I think that's the key message as well, because George was George Houston was one of our... And look where George has gone, right? Yeah. And I remember the first year he did this, it was his granny contacted him saying she was listening. I said, George, you need to enter this. So George was somewhere else. So that's what we're saying to anybody listening out there. You have a daughter, a son, a granddaughter, your husband, your wife, whatever. Get that music into us. I think one important point, if it's been released already on Spotify and stuff like that, Greg, we can't take it in. So it has to be new.
Because that's rehash.
So it's out there. But get the word out there. This is a really, really... And I think the other point you make, and I think that's the point, coming on here live with a half an hour dedicated to your solo artist or your band is a brilliant opportunity, playing inside here and quality production as well.
Paul, one of the biggest problems for bands, you could name 5 off the top of your head, or a single artist, and you could, Jimmy, as well, a separate 5, is that breakthrough. It's breaking through. And we all know artists that all it takes is that breakthrough, because everything's there. The talent's there, the music's there, they just need the audience. This is one of those springboards, potentially, Paul, whereby you go from, you know, being excellent, a big fish in a small pond, to breaking out onto the national scene. We've seen previous winners now doing support in Croke Park or their own gigs. Like, it genuinely is a pathway to stardom.
Without a doubt, Greg, without a doubt, it's a fantastic platform for any artist of any kind. But equally, you just mentioned the point there, they come on and they talk. We've noticed this ourselves. Sometimes acts will come on, they're brilliant musically, but see, when it comes to delivering themselves, they just fall down. So think about that as you're coming forward with
your
song.
Now, when you hit the big time, you can be a little bit like that, right?
Yeah, but big time's different.
But until you get to that point, you know, you have to press the flesh.
We discovered that on Saturday. When you get to a certain level, you don't have to engage it.
They were grand. They were lovely.
You got them in the end, but you get to that level where you're trying to get through another barrier of communication. You know what it's like, Greg. But they were lovely, and Ricky and Lauren, when they came on, they were really, really wonderful people. And just to give you another example, Cry Before Dawn were on was in Saturday, right? They're around 40 years, as Dolan said, he saw them in Waterford. But just to hear their story of when they began in the 80s, and, you know, just genuinely good musicians, and just love what they do.
Received the award
last year,
after 40 years. They've received an award for their last album.
Best album, yes. Yeah,
presented to them the other day.
And they
day.
Replayed a new track that's out today, which was actually...
It's supposed to be a big anthem coming as well from them. So we'll have it.
It sounded to me like a song that had been out before. Now, that doesn't mean it was a copy of something else, but, you know, when something instantly has a bit of gravitas to it. So they're still pumping out good music.
They are, So that, and I suppose the message there for them, I mean, they've been in hiatus for a couple of years, but back the last 2 years, is if you're an artist out there and you haven't been, and you have some, you know what's happening, Greg, people are in their bedroom recording now. You have something you think, oh, I think this is good, send it in to us.
Now, it's my mission, and I was saying this to Sean at the end of last week, I really want us to go on and win this thing.
I really want us to,
and I think as if I still have a role in judging, that's going to be a big focus for me anyway. Do you know what I mean? And that doesn't mean it has to be a particular genre or a type of music, but I just we've had some fantastic entries, not least Tessio. But I really think we should be winning this with what we have out there. So we need to connect the talent to the competition and win the blooming thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a big one for us, Greg. We said that, like, we know we'll probably get 100 entries, right, roughly. It's beltering that down to 4 is the big challenge for us. But it's now when you look at what won the previous years and you can see what's going into the mix, the production side of it and all that sort of. So it's really probably think a bit differently. If that, you know, and I know what you're thinking as well in terms of how do we get to that level where we get somebody into the final and they're in the top 3 and then eventually the top 1, and I think that's what people listen to. Just be a bit different maybe as well.
There's another angle too this year with the Irish language song. If you can enter, the song has to be at least half in Irish, and the prize for that is $2,500 plus you get all the mentoring. And, you know, the opportunity to have their single mixed and mastered and then released through Galen. So that
another opportunity, exactly. And with our Gaeltacht there is, why not tap into that? So definitely. The call is out to anyone in any genre. You know, it doesn't really matter how successful you have been, whether you have never had success or maybe you've had some success. This, you know what I mean? As I say, this is open to absolutely everyone. It's an original piece of music that hasn't been released on a streaming platform before. Send us the MP3 to localhero@highlandradio.com, and every single track's listened to by at least 5 sets of ears.
It is, we start getting them in and then we start listening to them, and we'll come up here and put them on the speakers as well.
Don't try an EA, because we'll catch on to you.
It's still a bit obvious, isn't it? And also too, you have to come in here and sing it live.
You do, yeah.
But no robot.
I think anybody out there, just be brave. You know, I think that's the thing, Greg. You know, people are saying, might be shy about sending some, send it in, let us listen to it. And, you know, and the other thing, the beauty for us, Greg, and Highland Radio, the amount of stuff we get where we get a new artist, we say, wouldn't it be great to come on your show or our show or any show at Highland? Mm-hmm. We've actually picked loads of from previous years. So, you know what, would you come on and do a session for
us? It does become almost like a little, not a little, it becomes a playset almost. Yeah. So it's a case you can dip in and out of it, because there's an amazing, and as across the music as you two are, there are still artists out there that can enter this that you're going, wow.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I hadn't heard them before. They're fantastic.
In their bedroom, recording and singing it
so,
to their family.
I mean, it can be a band, it can be a choir, it can be solo, it can be a duo. It really doesn't matter. The only thing that we need now is for you to get that MP3 into us. And this could be your pathway to the big time. Yeah. localhero@highlandradio.com. You have until the Sunday, the 6th of September. August, September. Wow, that's not long away.
A couple of weeks.
A few weeks. Three weeks only.
So it is tight. But look, people are turning around songs in 24 hours now.
So
they have the melody and the words and put it
together. I wish I had the talent.
Yeah, so do I.
You know, absolutely. Can you imagine sitting down now and going, I'm going to actually enter a song, I'm going to write a song. And there's people out there have that, so get on it. Or else you've got that sleeper that you haven't recorded yet.
And there's loads of them.
I mean, you look at previous, you know, you look at Owen Furry over in West Donegal, you know, previous people that we've had on the show. And you just look at where they're performing now at this stage. You know, and they're, as you said, Greg, they've gone to bigger and better things as well. And that is the opportunity, I think, that people have out there. This is and I think that the from our perspective, you call out the figure there, they get 800 and something. Our 4 finalists each will get 800 and something euros.
875.
Which isn't bad.
And if they're their own crew,
Switch
it amongst themselves.
By 1 or 2 or 4. But it's
in
brilliant.
Other words, you're not going to be out of pocket. We're not asking you for a favour here. We're asking you to enter this competition. You'll be paid for your live performance, and then we'll back you to the hilt if you're lucky enough to make it through and want to represent the region. It's representing us, it's representing the region, representing yourselves. Now, this is happening across a whole host of radio stations right across the country. Mm-hmm. So Mayo will be tapping into Midwest will be tapping into Mayo and surrounds, Ocean into Sligo and surrounds, Ware into Donegal and surrounds as well. So ideally, it's really artists from this region.
Yeah,
that's not prescribed, but it would make sense, right?
Yeah. Previous years, Greg, you would see people would enter into four different radio stations.
Yeah.
And say you're Donegal and then Midwest, another radio station picks them. It's kind of so. Just if you're focused on your Northwest, bang it into us, and let us give us the opportunity to put you forward.
All right, brilliant stuff. And as I say, we're going to get behind you 100%. Four acts over four consecutive days. Then the lines open. We'll be chatting loads more to Paul and Jimmy. Paul and Jimmy, I'm sure we'll be talking about this tonight on Monday night sessions, and we'll be running ads and all. But get your entries into us. The MP3, a little bit about yourself. It's not a writing competition, right? Just jot something down and send it all into localhero@highlandradio.com. If you've got a musician or a band in your life and they haven't heard this, please get them to listen back to the podcast or check out our website where they'll get more information. And it's always over 100, and we'd love to see that kind of response again.
Yeah.
And if you've entered previously, by the way, it's literally based on the song at that time. Please don't be discouraged from sending in another track because it's not a one and done situation. When you whittle it down to four, there's 16 or there could be 24 and you could have been in that. So please don't be discouraged if you didn't get through to the final before. All right, lads, anything to add?
No, but a good weekend. Just summer sessions were brilliant.
Yeah, they stole your name. Did they have to clear that with you?
Honestly, sessions. Well, I didn't get that actually. Yeah. Sessions.
That's all sorted. I sorted that out. Don't you worry about that. Next question.
Three little letters for you, VIP. Right, okay. Jimmy and
thanks,
Paul,
Greg.
On air tonight from 8 to 10. What's on tonight?
Frankie McGreevy's coming up.
Oh, brilliant.
An Italian artist, actually, contacted us 12 months ago and is in Ireland and has been communicating. So
Paolo Rosato.
Rosato, yeah. So
be funny if he can't sing a note. Tune in just in case. And that's where we leave it on the show today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.